Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
Imagine never going to school before and being asked to listen to a stranger teaching you through a screen. And that's exactly what kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla is having to deal with this school year, as everything is entirely on screen. Now, Julia is spending some time with us today. We're talking to teachers that have real vision for their students. She teaches at Ira J. Earle Elementary School in Vegas. And Julia, we're thinking about this virtual learning, how it's going to play out this year. And your students have never been to school before. Nevertheless, doing this online is virtual learners. Oh, this is something that hasn't even crossed my mind for kindergartners. It's a whole new level of difficulty, huh?
Right. It's so different. And I did have such a positive experience in the spring, but I know that a huge, huge part of that, the majority of that, was already the strong relationship that I had built with my students and their parents, as well as knowing what their needs were at that stage, which in kindergarten is a time when those are being identified for the first time. And so really we're kind of a triage, identifying, okay, maybe this child needs a vision screening, maybe they need a hearing screening, how do we support fine motor skills, gross motor skills? There's just like so much, and kindergarten is that entry point.
So, Julia, you posted a fundraising goal on donorschoose.org, and you've titled it Little Learner. So tell us a little bit about this project, this vision you have for your students this year as you're starting this all online.
Yeah, my vision for my students this year is that they really enjoy learning and that they're start of their education is something that they feel excited about. And while many things are daunting with computer literacy and typing and how do I click and what is the mouse, I want them to be able to have as much of an experience of what it would be like in the classroom for them to build community and partnerships with their classmates as well as myself.
School starts today for the Clark County School District, and for all of our teachers around this valley, it's game on. We're talking with kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla today on SOS Radio. Julia teaches at Ira J. Earle Elementary School, and Julia, you actually have a unique vision for your students this year as things are online, and you posted your vision and your project at donorschoose.org. What specifically are you hoping to do in this new school year?
Yeah, I'm raising money for manipulatives, which are tactile items that kids can use for their learning. Typically in my classroom, I love for the kids to participate in centers. Centers are collaborative. They have objects that are thematic or exciting to them and that help to teach them by doing and by playing. And so a lot of those things are very specific, like little teddy bears or counters that have two colors to help them also work through and build their math skills so that they can use the one object in multiple ways to represent when they are problem solving, as well as when they are organizing how they're grouping, whether they're going to add or subtract. A lot of these things are really amazing, and there are so many amazing, amazing tools out there for the virtual world, but I want students to have that skill and build those fine motor skills as well, so that when we have a joyful return back to school, they have that finger grip strength for their pencil. They can use scissors properly. I would love for them to have a really joyful time at home with materials that can enrich their learning experience and that they can reference to in the event when they may not be able to join us for asynchronous and live instruction, that they still have really strong resources and supports at home to practice. So some of those items are reusable long-term whiteboards that are of quality, tracing uppercase letters, lowercase letters, their numbers, and just having more art for them to create and really share what they are imagining and see themselves as writers, see themselves as readers, see themselves as mathematicians and little scientists.
So, Julia, you teach kindergarten, and that means you haven't physically met any of your incoming students that you have this year, so that obviously makes virtual learning even harder.
We know that kindergarten and going to school is something that's very exciting and very new for our students that haven't experienced pre-K, and they have usually spent most of their lives so far surrounded by family, and we literally are strangers, and so kindergarten is an exciting time for them to get to make lots of new friends, and they have those conversations and build those connections. So I'm looking for all the ways that I can do that without being attached necessarily to a screen. So while we may have our cameras on and instruction happening or them working independently, their eyes aren't necessarily glued to see what the letter A is like and that they have really strong supports.
Teachers are facing unique circumstances and challenges this year as we're doing virtual learning with Clark County Schools. And we're talking about that with kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla today at SOS Radio. And Julia, what are some of the challenges that teachers are facing this year that parents probably have no idea about?
That's a really big question because parents also have so many challenges that we can't even think about and imagine on our end. So I think one of the challenges that we have is that there are so many uncertain things that we as teachers as well are waiting for answers on and that we would love to be able to share. Something that I think that parents might not realize just yet is that we are kind of learning this as well as they are. So while we've had a few more weeks and we've had a bunch of instruction, we are trying to make everything as simple and as smooth as possible for them. And I know that that's a really big goal of the items that I selected so that parents can easily support their child without having to understand how to develop a web page or go and navigate back and forth among so many different resources. So we are doing our best to help meet all the needs of our kids. And I do know, and I would love to share that I feel we're very open to their communication and their feedback so that we can continue to uplift their voices and advocate for what will be best for the entire child and family.
So, Julia, you teach kindergarten students. Have you had parents expressing real concerns about having their kids at home all day while they have to work and shuffle around their schedule?
Yeah, so parents that I've spoken to have worked out and coordinated what their child care will look like. And in many scenarios, it is that the child will be with a family member that is older or might not have that same level of computer ability that ourselves as teachers and parents might have. And so parents have reached out and been super positive and really amazing, I think, in vulnerability and sharing these things about themselves as well as all of their concerns so that we can take that into account. And for example, how are we receiving assignments? Does it make sense for me to ask families to do homework every single night, or is there a better way that I can do it that fits to their needs? If I know that the parent might not be able to really sit down with their child to do their work or assignments until the weekend, then of course, as a teacher, I want to be adaptable and flexible and meet their needs.
Staring at a computer screen for hours on end can really give you a headache. And because learning is going virtual for the beginning of this school year, we're going to have to motivate our kids to keep going, stay focused. We're talking about it with kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla today at SWS Radio. And Julia, what do you suggest for parents on how to go about motivating their kids with homework and schoolwork when literally everything is online and virtual?
I would recommend that parents have, besides just focusing on the work and the completion of the work, have these metacognitive conversations with their children about why it's important for us to try our best and to continue that open wave of communication, but also that we're all in this together in terms of figuring it out. And it's going to be different for us as teachers. It's different for parents. And I think for parents to share their experiences with education and their rationale behind why it's important is going to be so meaningful as the children are connecting with us as teachers. So really building that excitement, even though it can be so daunting, really building excitement and acknowledging this is something that is so unique, right? It's going to be something completely memorable for all of us that we're living and experiencing and that are so fortunate to make it through this really difficult and challenging time. So I think just giving each other and ourselves a lot of grace.
I feel like I went to school in a completely different world than what our kids are experiencing this year. I remember when I was in school, I used my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Trapper Keeper to keep myself organized. And then we had these like red day timers they gave us in middle school to write out all of our assignments class by class. Organization today is going to look so much different. And we're talking about that with kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla today at SWS Radio. And Julia, what do you suggest for parents who want to teach their kids to think differently about organization and accountability?
Absolutely. And I love this question because it speaks to some of the items that I put on my list. I think some of those things that students can use and have is really just thinking and organizing what is the best space and going through a checklist of what do I need for the day. And so as we teach students to be proactive and begin that journey for themselves. I think that we have such an opportunity with students being at home with their families for them to find that same leadership that we might provide to them in school, in the community that we create within each classroom. And so really the conversations and reflection, I think, is what will drive that organization. I also think that as far as on my end, as a teacher, I know that I'm going to really scaffold how I am communicating that with students. So it's going to be extremely clear, right? Okay, it's time to take out our name tracing packet. Great, now this is what we're going to do. And like really go through it step by step. And I think that that's an opportunity to bring all learners in and really make things even more accessible than we may have realized that they were in the past.
Traditional screen time limitations are taking on a whole new meaning this year as everything is going virtual. And we're talking about that with kindergarten teacher Julia Quintanilla today at SOS Radio. And Julia, screen time is just a vague term right now because our kids, they get so much time in the screen for school as they're sitting in front of a computer. Then they want to play video games. They want to watch Disney Plus. So Julia, what do you suggest for parents about navigating this delicate screen time balance with their kids this year?
Absolutely. I think really realizing what works best for you and for your child. I think seeing and connecting with teachers so that wherever possible, if an activity can be off screen, that they can do it off screen and perhaps take pictures to submit their work. Obviously, that looks and turns out a little bit differently based on grade level. So I do think that if kids still would like to have their screen time, right, that parents communicate with them the reason or when they're going to have that screen time. Maybe you can have more screen time on the weekend to do the things that you really enjoy. But also I would encourage all of us to go and be outside and have some outdoor air and natural light as much as possible. Maybe it'll be a comeback of naps.
Downloading audio.
Nonstop. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
We're supporting teachers with big vision this week at SWIS Radio. And we're talking with Robert Morrow. He's an art teacher with Ellis Elementary School in Las Vegas. And he actually teaches kindergarten through fifth grade. And you know, this is going to be an interesting one with the kids working online primarily, Clark County School District. And Mr. Morrow actually has a project on donorschoose.org. And it's about reusable clay for creating forms. Tell us about your project.
Originally, like I was trying to get as many material to the kids. Kind of depleted my art fund to send like care packages to the kids to get them like the basics. And I usually do ceramics because I have a kiln and everything in my art room. And since they're not going to be in the classroom, I was trying to get them some polymer clay. That way when we're doing live lessons, we could still work with forms because some of my kids benefit from doing the forms, like the hand-eye coordination versus doing drawing, painting, and other media.
If you thought we lived in the tech age before, it's never been more true than it is now, right? And it seems like this whole world runs on technology, as if all of our kids are online with school. And Mr. Morrow, what's your ultimate vision for your students this year in your art class with everything that's just been transitioning to the distance learning?
It's going to be kind of a challenge. I want to see them still excel. Before the shutdown, things were going so well, and I just want to help guide them to continue getting into routines, even though it's going to be a challenge. But I want to try and make it as easy as possible for the parents and the kids. All of us at our school have been working really hard to try and put together virtual classrooms to make it really user-friendly for the parents. So there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on with just all kinds of various Google apps to make it user-friendly for the parents.
Teachers are facing more challenges this year with being asked to completely overhaul the classrooms and transform it into like a virtual environment, and all in the meanwhile maintaining the same atmosphere of learning. And Mr. Morrow, what are some of the challenges that teachers face this year that most parents don't realize?
We didn't really have the choice to shut down. I mean, I know there's a lot of reservations from teachers to go in, but you know, ultimately the school board made the decision for us not to go in for the safety of the students and staff, which I completely support, but at the same time, it's just going to be a challenge all around because this is new territory for all of us. The younger kids, especially the incoming kindergartners, because they teach K through five. So this is going to be a new concept. You know, usually We have the kindergartners come in. They learn routines around the school, and it's just going to be a different situation. So I think the biggest challenge is going to be the little kids.
Every teacher I know has a genuine love for their students, and this is why we love our teachers so much at SOS Radio. We're talking with Robert Morrill. He's with Ellis Elementary School in Las Vegas, and he's an art teacher. And more times than not, Mr. Morrill, you know, teachers have a deep-rooted passion for wanting to come alongside their students and walk with them and pull out their artistic abilities and their education journey. And not to be able to do that face-to-face, day in and day out, I mean, is that emotionally taxing for you?
Yeah, that's the thing with being an art specialist. I get to see them grow from kindergarten to fifth grade. And so it is tough. You know, art is hands-on. I want to be able to show them, you know, visually in the classroom. And then if a kid needs a hand with something, it's easier to give them a helping hand or have another peer in the classroom, you know, give them, because sometimes the students can teach it better than I can. You know, so I group the kids that way if we have a kid that struggles. And so it's going to be a tough situation for sure. I am going to miss seeing the kids in person because I'm not going to get very much screen time with them, but just because of their schedule. So it's definitely, it is taxing that way.
I remember when I was in school back in the day, I had the classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Trapper Keeper. That was how I kept organized. But now in 2020, with organization taking on a whole new meaning when our kids are online so much of the day, Mr. Morrill, in light of all that technology being tossed their way, how do you suggest that parents keep their kids organized and keep them accountable?
Honestly, with the way things are going with technology, really knowing Google and all the applications with Google is probably going to be the most helpful thing. That seems to be the way we're heading with the Google Classroom and Canvas, which is the whole setting for the virtual classroom is going to be on Canvas. So just knowing Google is really helpful because then you can organize digitally on calendars, and the kids are going to need to really be proficient with that when they get to middle school and high school anyway. So them learning that young is just going to be beneficial to stay organized, you know, because I use a Ninja Turtle lunchbox myself, so I'm in the same era there.
Let's be honest. Our kids are facing challenges and issues that none of us ever even thought about when we were in elementary school. And Mr. Morrill is actually a teacher at Ellis Elementary School. And when our kids are staring at a computer screen all day long, it can wear you out. It can make you want to go to sleep. What do you suggest your parents do to motivate their kids with online learning, especially when homework comes around?
That's a situation that is, it's different for every household. For instance, for my wife and I, you know, we're still working and we have a son that is going to be a second grader. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to balance our time with our son. So I can't imagine what parents must do to be able to guide their kids that way. I know, you know, we as teachers and as a school community tried to make a schedule that gave breaks in between so they're not getting just all day screen time. They're able to do, you know, virtual learning and then take a break and kind of do some of their own instruction. I'm hoping with the breaks that'll kind of, you know, help up their everything.
Mr. Morrill, you mentioned earlier that you have a second grader at home. What are you and your wife doing to make sure that you regulate all the amounts of screen time for him? I mean, you mentioned being real intentional about giving him breaks. Are you finding those breaks are really breaking through?
As long as they're limited, you know, on the screen all day is not great, especially like when the pandemic set in. We try to keep the routines going. My wife and I focused on his education that the teachers put out, which they did a fantastic job as a team. And it's the summertime trying to keep his brain fresh, you know, doing just continuing lessons. You know, our teachers were great about giving us resources about getting him ready for second grade as far as the subjects are concerned. And then I would do art with him, basically giving him some breaks in between and just kind of keeping his brain fresh with those materials.
We live in a culture where we hear one thing on one media outlet, then you hear something else on the news, you see something else on the internet, you don't even know what's truth anymore or what you believe about school and education and where the research really is. And we're talking with Robert Morrill. He's an art teacher today at SOS Radio. He works in Southern Nevada. Mr. Morrill, when it comes to the school district, we've been hearing lots of things all summer, and things do change, and then different research comes out, and then there's regulation, and you just try to backtrack, and then you try to move forward. try to revisit things. I mean, what do you suggest we do when we as parents are just trying to figure out what's really happening behind the scenes?
Honestly, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. A lot of stuff will be said in the media that's hearsay. My biggest advice to parents is to wait and hear from CCSD themselves. Watch a board meeting, or maybe just the summary of a board meeting, because that's where the real decisions are made. You'll hear a lot of parents or, you know, social media say, oh, this is going to happen or this is going to happen. And some of it's not true. That's why I always wait to see what the board's going to do, what the decision they're going to make, because ultimately they're the ones that vote, make the decision like they did with us not going back to school.
Where can we watch those board meetings?
They live stream them on social media. Sometimes you'll catch it on the news, but a good source is if you're on Facebook or Twitter, they usually do a live stream of it on the CCSD website. They'll have like a CCSD tag for it.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.
We know this is going to be an unusual year, but there's a lot of opportunity. And we're actually talking with Kathy Simmons. She's a teacher at Northwest Career Tech Academy in Las Vegas. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you.
I love seeing teachers that have vision for their classrooms. And you work with the culinary department at the school. And you're working with students, challenging them to think about being chefs and being cooks and working in the culinary industry. And there's a lot of amazing opportunity, but we know that the funding is a real challenge this year, Kathy.
Yes, that's correct. It's very challenging.
There's a website, it's called donorschoose.org, where you can actually search through for different projects that teachers are posting where they have vision for their students. Usually it's things that the school doesn't have budget to cover, but you want to go above and beyond. You want to be creative. You want to build special projects for your students. And Kathy, you have one up there for your culinary program.
Yes, it's a clean and sanitized kitchen. So I'm looking for a steam cleaner that will help us clean the equipment without all the chemicals and everything, especially with all the pandemic and everything, and everybody's coming back and all concerned about everything being sanitized.
So, Kathy, you found a steam cleaner online that will zap 99% of all of that stuff. And so make it a clean and safe and fun environment for your students when they do get to come back at some point this year.
Yeah, that's the whole intention, that we can have it clean before they get there, and we can teach them how to use this, and after every class, they can clean it.
Yeah, I remember when I was a cook in college at Bennigan's, you know, I was like, I love the cooking part of it. And then the cleaning part of it is what took so long. And this will make it real simple and easy for you and your students, right?
Yes, I'm hoping for that.
So we have a link to Ms. Simmons' project on donorschoose.org from Northwest Career Tech Academy. Basically, this is going to cost like $300 or $400 to fund this whole project, right?
Yep, $300. That's it.
I know there's people listening that can give to that, whether it's $25 or it's the whole $300. Let's support our teachers like Ms. Simmons today.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
It's so interesting how the school year is going to play out, and we have a lot of teachers that are trying to flesh it out. You think about like math and science and writing and reading and those typical core curriculum, and then you think about all the specialty classes and the electives and the things that our students say, hey, I want to do culinary, and you go, how is that going to play out? And we're actually talking with Kathy Simmons, and she's a teacher at Northwest Career Tech Academy in Las Vegas, and you're fleshing this out. You're figuring this out. You're trying to find special ways to motivate your culinary students and do a lot of this from home, huh?
Yes, I've actually gotten out and got some stuff to do videos so that I can show the kids how to do it. You do it by hand if they don't have the equipment, trying to get creative with getting them energized about cooking at home, I guess.
Yeah, so how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, we're doing a new online program, Canvas, and then we have another program for the culinary department. There's like demos online and different things that we can put in there for tests and the whole program. And of course, we're going to add our own stuff to it also.
It's really interesting when we think about organization, right? When our students are working from home, it's one thing where when you and I were kids, we were using our Trapper Keepers and we had like our day timers and we're outlining all of our assignments. But Ms. Simmons, what do you think is a good way for parents to start thinking about how to challenge their kids to think about their organization in high school in this modern digital age?
Well, I guess the Google Meets, and there's a whole bunch of apps that are available on the Chrome and on Google, and being in a quiet place in their rooms or in a special place in the house, organizing everything. It's pretty nice on the Canvas that it is organized for each classroom and they can click on things. But having that little space and a quiet time and away from all the distractions is going to be really important for them.
We're talking with Kathy Simmons from Northwest Career Tech Academy in Las Vegas. And Ms. Simmons, what do you think is most misunderstood about teachers this year when parents are thinking about the stress of online learning?
I think that parents are thinking that this is not going to be engaging for their kids. And we're trying our best to get everything together so that throughout the day they are in each class and they have to sign in, they have to watch a video with the teachers. And they're going to be responsible for homework. They're going to have different things for each class. So it may be extremely busy this year, depending on the classes that they are taking.
Do you feel like there's some misunderstanding about online learning isn't going to be as good as being in person? I feel like there's a lot of students that may have struggled in school last year that might actually find they're more engaged with this because they love tech.
Yeah, this year it's going to be a lot more engaging. Last year it was kind of like thrown at us. And this year it's a lot more organized. Again, the Canvas is brand new for Clark County, and they can go and click very simply to each class and sign into a Google Meet. So they're with the teacher, and the teacher's online with them through every period.
It's like you've aggregated everything into one place. So it's like buttons where they can just click and go back and forth between different classes, between their assignments, your website and your videos that you have posted. They can go back and watch your cooking demos and things like that, or watch other experts that you're unable to get to come into class in person, but have recorded things that you can use now and really engage the kids in special ways in your culinary program.
Absolutely. And I'm able to go around with my phone and I can show them the kitchen and what each item is and how do we use it so that when they do get back into the kitchen, they're all set to go.
We're talking with Kathy Simmons. She's a teacher at Northwest Career Tech Academy in Las Vegas. And she actually has a project online at donorschoose.org. And I've linked to that on my blog page at swissradio.net. But basically with this new school year, when the students do go back into learning, obviously we know it's online for CCSD for this first quarter or this first semester, but then if they do blended learning later or if we do go back full time like next semester, you're going to have this whole kitchen and the concerns have always been, okay, cleanliness. And you have a Donors Choose project where you want to do some steam cleaning for all your equipment. It costs like $300-$400 and people listening can actually donate towards that for these students.
Yes, any amount would be helpful. You don't have to do a large amount. Just anything would be helpful. I just would like to make it so that the kids are ready and they feel safe coming back into the kitchen.
And it's going to make it easier for our teachers in the culinary program like you as well, because the cleaning is quick, it's easy, and you know it's going to be sterilized like that.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole intention for teaching the kids. They can do this at home. There's cheaper ones at home that they can do it all around their house too.
Well, amazing. Well, Ms. Simmons, as you're thinking about motivating our students, I know a lot of parents are just thinking like, this is kind of overwhelming. My kids are online all these hours a day. Then they want to play video games. They want to turn on Netflix and just kind of deprogram after school and have a snack. I'm trying to remotivate them. What are you noticing about the things that work for challenging our kids in regard to motivation in high school today?
Keeping them on track, talking about the future, talking about how they can get ahead, and once they get out, what they're going to need to know in order to get a job.
And it may actually be easier than ever with everything right online and in one place now with the way that your school has organized all of this.
Yeah, and what's really nice is with our program is that you get college credits. So for culinary and baking and pastry, you can actually get college credits once you graduate as long as you pass the end of program class.
Well, we're talking with Kathy Simmons, and she's a teacher at Northwest Career Tech Academy in Las Vegas. She has a Donors Choose project where they are looking for a steam cleaner to sanitize their kitchen and all their equipment, because we know that that's going to be so important when they do go back in person. But in the meantime, she can use this equipment to show the kids how to do these sort of things, because the sanitation and the cleanliness is super important in the hospitality industry.
Yes, it's very important in the kitchens, and once they do get a job in the industry, they'll have their health card, and they have the knowledge for the sanitation and serve safe.
Well, very cool. You can find that linked for donorschoose.org on our website over at swissradio.net. Click Scott's blog page. Thanks, Ms. Simmons.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoyed the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.